How's it going?
Good.
Oh, you were
right. Yeah, Verizon, I have to service
just make you legitimate.
I'm good to go.
All right, thank you. You guys
yep.
have a good day.
You too, man. Good luck.
I would go up to like.
Welcome to episode 5. Tonight, we're going to recap stop number 1 on the Sun Valley Sports Indiana Kayak Angler Tournament Series provided by Hobie Fishing.
And if you have a signed waiver, you can go ahead and do that too. Okay. Thank you.
That's just a little bit of the noise you would have heard the morning registration at West Boggs Reservoir. We had 87 anglers come through registration in that morning and tried their luck at West Boggs Reservoir. 72 limits were caught out of those 87 anglers. 6 of those limits were caught within the first 20 minutes of the event. Within the first hour and 30 minutes, I judged 179 fish. Judged 452 fish overall for the day, but I don't think that's a very good reflection of how many fish were actually caught in this tournament. They were all pretty small. The average length for the 452 that were submitted was 13.18 inches. The rest of this podcast is going to be dedicated to talking to those anglers that finished in the top 5 places for the event. First up is Aiden Darlington, last year's Angler of the Year, starting off 2018 strong with a first place victory. Let's hear from him about how his day went.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Aiden?
Oh, not much.
So I wonder if you could give us a little breakdown of how your day went yesterday.
Well, so yesterday I had the game plan of my initial idea was to get away from the field. I knew it was going to be pretty crowded with that many guys out there on that lake, so I decided to make a run first thing in the morning with that extra time that we had. And I ran all the way to the far west end of the lake past that, like, I guess that bridge, if you would call it that. But I went under there, and I didn't really paddle too far back into that area. I just went right under the bridge on the far right tube and sat right there. There was a couple of brush piles, really, and that's kind of where I started. And my main plan was just to get a few fish off that and then hopefully move out and start looking for some bigger bites.
Did you find those brush piles in practice the day before?
Yeah, I paddled through most of the west end of the lake the day before with James, and we got a good look at it, and I decided that those brush piles might be pretty solid in the morning, so that's just where I decided to start.
Mm-hmm. So was that most of your day, just right there in that area, or did you end up kind of wandering around for a while?
Well, I started on those brush piles, and I actually caught my limit really fast off those piles, but I didn't have any phone service. But I started there, I sat there for a little while, and I fished down that the bridge or the riprap thing. Fished down that, and then I went back. There was a couple of coves back in there, too, that I had caught a ridiculous number of fish in pre-fishing, but none of them were real big, so I went back there to see, and I actually did end up catching one of the fish that I had in my final stringer. I got a 14, which was, for this tournament, big.
It was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of strange, you know. But I caught that 14, and so that was, at that point, I think I had like 41 and a half. And so I decided that I had a decent stringer or something I'd be happy with ending with. And so I decided I was going to do some crazy stuff and head out to the main lake and see if I could find some more bigger bites. And so that's what I did. I paddled out from there, and I just went out basically junk fishing for trying to find some bigger fish.
And then, what was it? It was a little after 1, probably, wasn't it, when you finally got that third?
Yeah, it was really late in the day, so I actually paddled past that spot originally, and I was just kind of working my way back towards the boat ramp, and there was a bunch of brush piles, like, on that bank directly across from the ramp, or like trees, I guess, hanging in the water, and I was just in a real shallow. It was really shallow, so I was just throwing a tube up around those trees, and then I caught a 14 1/4, and so that kind of keyed me into these fish being on like solid cover. So I went down the rest of that bank and checked some more brush piles, and I couldn't really catch anything off of any of them but that one brush pile. So I just, and that tree was a little bit bigger and had a little bit more shade, so that kind of led me to think that there might be some fish on docks, which I previously hadn't really, even in pre-fishing, I hadn't caught a whole lot of fish off of boat docks. So from there, I just decided I was going to go check a few docks on the opposite bank, and as I was going down some docks, I ended up getting that 14 3/4, which put me over the top ahead of James by 1/4 inch.
It was definitely a game of quarter inches on Saturday.
It definitely was. That was an interesting event. It was fun, but honestly, it was definitely interesting.
Funny story about your kicker fish, and I use that with air quotes for everybody that can't see me. One of our anglers had to leave a little bit early, and so he came up and was sitting with me in the shelter for a few minutes before he had to leave. And as soon as he got up there, he said, "Let me guess, Aiden's winning." Because at this point, I had the leaderboard turned off, so nobody besides me could see what was going on. And I said, "Actually, he's not." And then we sat there and talked for a little bit, and he got his fish submitted and everything. And so, like, probably 3-5 minutes after I said that you weren't leading is when you submitted that 14 3/4 and took the lead. it was like he high-fived you into there. It was kind of strange. But, so what, were you throwing a tube most of the day?
I was fishing the tube around like the brush piles, but I started in the morning throwing a Ned rig, of course.
No.
Small fish, small bait, and it just seemed to work. I got a ton of bites, but that was my plan just because it catches small fish generally. So I was just trying to get a few in the boat, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided I knew I needed to throw bigger baits to catch hopefully bigger fish. So I threw a chatterbait around a lot, caught some smaller ones on that. But the chatterbait was actually what I ended up getting my 14 3/4 on. So I guess throwing a bigger bait did eventually pay off, but it was kind of an interesting story with that 14 3/4. It was pretty much luck. I wouldn't even consider it skill, in all honesty. That catch was definitely something else.
What about it that was strange?
So I was fishing docks, like I said, and so I mm-hmm. knew they were pretty shallow, so I was looking at like specifically the walkways out to the docks,
okay,
like right along the riprap,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little bit of shade on there, and so I was trying to get my chatterbait back underneath the dock so I could get a good cast down parallel to the bank, but I had tried to skip it and I got a major backlash. It hit a wave and just, it was a mess, and so my chatterbait sank straight down, and so I'm sitting here picking out my backlash, and I finally get it picked out, and I go to reel up all the slack line, and my chatterbait's about 10 feet to the left, and I set the hook, and that's what it was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it just picked it up like a jig.
And by the way, Aiden, just so you know, we don't call those backlashes. Those are professional overruns.
That is true.
Yes.
Professional overruns.
The guy that won the Hobie Bass Open a couple years ago, of course, when the Hobie Bass Open's going on in Kentucky Lake, it's generally ledge fishing time, right? First week of June. And first weekend of June is when they usually do that. But anyways, he took a picture of the spot he won on. He basically sat on one school of fish for 2 days and won the tournament. But he took a picture of all the fish stacked up on his fish finder. And the story he told on that was that it actually wasn't the ledge he was normally fishing. But he got a backlash. And the current and the wind blew him several hundred feet before he got the backlash out, and when he looked down, when he got the backlash out, he was sitting on that school of fish that ended up winning him the tournament.
Dang. Yeah, I guess it's always that little bit of blind luck to play into all the other factors, yep, when it comes to tournament fishing. You just never know.
I know now that when I'm having a rough day on the water, I'm going to go ahead and make a backlash.
Make a backlash.
Yeah, it's my good luck backlash. So did you enjoy the tournament? I mean, it was definitely, I think it was a different venue than what we're used to fishing. Certainly a lot of fish caught. I judged 449 fish Saturday.
Yeah, that's absolutely absurd. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's like well over the most we've ever had in a IKA event.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's the most anglers with 87 that we've had, and then that many fish pictures is just ridiculous. I haven't finished looking at the numbers, but I'm sure 3/4 of the field, if not more, had a 3-fish limit. Probably more than that. But
it was, I mean, I really enjoyed that lake. It was a lot of fun. I mean, pre-fishing, I caught upwards of 75 bass just going down the lake looking for spots.
Did you just pre-fish on Friday, or had you gone down there before?
The pre-fishing was just on Friday for me. I had never seen the lake before Friday. I just went down there, skipped school. You know, and went
down there. Do you need me to edit that out for the podcast, or are you good?
Nah, it's all good.
Okay. You had a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, I had a fishing fever.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I just went down there Friday after Friday morning, and we just checked it out.
I thought it was a neat lake. I was really surprised that somebody didn't find a 17, 18, 19 incher. I was really surprised by that, but I knew it was going to be a lot of 12s to 13s all day long.
I was surprised as well about that. I thought for sure, I mean, I was telling everybody that I was talking to that somebody was going to get that giant 5-pound bite and pretty much catapult themselves to the top of the leaderboard instantly, but I guess it never ended up happening.
I think the thing that could be interesting about a 5-pound fish on that lake is it might not be very long. Some of those fish were just fat.
Exactly. Yeah.
My goodness.
I thought that was really weird considering the number of fish in the body of water.
Right. You would expect them to be kind of skinny and unhealthy looking, but I know I judged one fish. I'll have to see if I can dig that up. I can't remember who it was at this point, but it was like a 12 or 12 and a half inch fish, but you couldn't even see the top and bottom of the hog trough. It was that tall. It almost looked like a spot, you know. It had this real small head and real big belly, but it was weird looking. Definitely been eating well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this lake is going to be a really awesome fishery here in a couple years. If might need a little bit of population control, but other than that, these fish are already looking like they're basically just miniature versions of trophy bass.
Apparently, there's some really nice crappie in that lake too. I heard multiple.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. Seemed like there were a lot of guys out crappie fishing too.
Well, one of our anglers caught a 12-inch crappie during the tournament and tried to offer it to a crappie fisherman that was right next to him. He's like, "Oh no, that's okay, man. I already got a dozen of those in the live well." I'm like, "Whoa,
dang!"
Turning down the 12-inch crappie. But all right, man. Well, we're gonna hop off of here. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, no problem.
You're becoming a regular on the podcast.
That's all right for me, I guess.
Well, congratulations on your victory and enjoy the money. Are you going to spend it on any new fishing toys?
I think I'm going to pick up maybe a new reel, another casting reel, but
yeah.
Other than that, I think I'm going to hold on to it a little bit, you know, go towards some college expenses.
There you go. Good man. All right, brother. Well, it was good seeing you again, and we will see you in a couple weeks at Morse, I guess.
All righty. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
See you, Aiden.
See ya.
Our next interview is with James Alexic. James finished a quarter inch behind Aiden at 42 3/4 inches. He actually tied with our third place finisher, Alan Reed, but the tie was broken based upon the earliest catch time of the largest fish.
Hello?
Hey, James. How's it going?
Pretty good.
What are you up to?
I'm doing a speech project right now, but
due
to tomorrow.
Which means you just started it about 15 minutes ago, right?
More like half an hour ago.
Ooh, I was close. Nice.
Yeah, you were.
I know how things work. Been around the block. Right on. Hey, thanks for taking a little bit of time from your speech project to tell us a little bit about your tournament. How did it go on Saturday for you, like as far as, you know, patterns that worked out for you versus what you found in practice and stuff?
Well, I did get to pre-fish on Friday, which was definitely good. I just used smaller.
Did you skip school too?
Yeah, I skipped school with Aiden and went down.
I mean, you were sick, right? You
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course I was.
Dr. Boggs wrote you a note?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, pre-fishing down there, basically it was just all smaller finesse stuff that I figured out that they were biting on. The only difference basically between the days is the second day I tried to fish deeper water, so I was focusing mostly on plover that was in 10 to 12 feet probably, like laydowns and stuff, and it seemed like they held a little bit better fish than what I was getting pre-fishing.
So did you
and
find
that was about it.
Did you find any of those 14-inch plus fish in practice on Friday at all?
No. My biggest one in practice was probably like 13 and a half.
Right.
And then I actually caught one of my 14s right off the bat, a little bit offshore, which is kind of how I started to get them patterned in the deeper water. And I got pretty excited with that one 14-incher in like 15 minutes because I knew that thing was going to be a part of the limit at the end of the day.
Right.
Most likely. Yeah.
It's good to get it started off early, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so that one of your early fish, your 14 and a half, is actually what got you pushed into second place over third place finisher Alan Reed. Because you guys both finished with 42 and three quarters and both with a 14 and a half, a 14 and a quarter, and a 14. We normally wouldn't have had a provision for that in the rules as far as how to figure out the tiebreaker. You know, we usually just go by the biggest fish, but we thought if any of the tournaments we had this year had the opportunity to have anglers with the exact same total length and the exact same three fish, that this was one of them. This was it.
Yeah.
So yeah. We kind of came up with that little rule at the last minute there, and I'm glad we did. I'm glad we planned for it a little bit instead of having to wing it. We thought about maybe like a fish off. That might have been kind of fun too.
Oh yeah, that would have been fun.
Everybody standing on the bank watching you guys try and catch your first fish.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you scroll down farther though, you see like 8 or 9 people though tied for like 20th, I thought, with 39 inches or something like that. And then, I mean, if you go further down the leaderboard, it gets even worse with the ties.
Yes,
so I'm
ridiculous.
Surprised we didn't really have that with like 8th or 9th place too.
I was hoping it didn't happen too much. I was actually kind of surprised to see it so close to the top of the leaderboard. But
yeah,
I have a lot of work to do to go through and figure out AOI points.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do. That doesn't sound fun.
Nah. Sit down with a spreadsheet one night and stare at a computer screen.
Yeah.
Nothing new. So what did you think of the event? Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great. It's always fun when you can go and catch a lot of fish, even if they're all small.
When you say a lot of fish, how many do you think you caught through the day?
Oh, both days, probably at least 70 each day. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to hook into that one. Well.
Yeah, the 115-incher in the lake. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I just talked to Nathan, and he was talking about when he caught that 15 and a quarter. He said he finally got it in the net, and he's just hooping and hollering, and some guy was nearby crappie fishing and goes, "Oh, is it a big one?" Nathan's like, "No."
Yeah.
But big enough, right?
Yeah, big enough.
They all fought really well, too. I got to fish for a little bit on Friday, and I was amazed at what I felt on the other end of the line versus what I saw when I got it in. Just didn't match up.
Yeah, I mean, my 14 and a half, I mean, since they're all so fat, it seems like each one is about, or it feels about 2 inches longer than all the other ones. So, like, that 14 jumped way at the end of my cast, and I could have sworn that thing was at least 16 or 17. And then I got him in, and I'm like, wow, that's a little let down. But still, I mean, for that lake, it's a good fish, I guess. Yeah,
and even some of the boaters in the bass boat tournaments they have out there, seems like last couple weekends that they had them out there, there was at least one 5-pounder caught. But then I kind of wonder how long a 5-pounder out there would actually be. You know, when they're that fat, you never really know.
Yeah. Yeah, like a 16-incher, right?
Wow. That'd be a funny-looking fish. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for sharing. So, okay, you're talking smaller finesse stuff. We got to get it out there. You Ned rig, right?
Well, actually, I did Ned rig the pre-fish day, but I was mostly doing laydowns and stuff, and I was getting snagged a lot. So I actually switched to like a finesse jig, a Strike King. I think Bitsy Bug is what they're called.
Right.
And then I threw that a lot in the laydowns, and then I didn't get snagged as much.
Were you running any sort of trailer on it at all? Like a,
pocket crawl or something? No, I put the Ned rig trailer on the jig, basically.
Really?
So it was basically just a weedless Ned rig. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I never would have thought about it. I would have been looking for some tiny little crawl. I never would have thought about that.
Yeah, no.
Very nice.
Sacrificed on the hookup a little bit, but I didn't get snagged as much, so I think it helped me out a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's a nice little tip.
Yeah.
Was there any particular color that you threw the whole time, or were they
kind of... Yeah, just green stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I throw all the time, basically.
Green pumpkin, watermelons, that type of thing?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like one of the two important colors in fishing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You haven't tried the bubble gum yet?
I did. Well, I tried a bubble gum crankbait pre-fishing, and I caught one on that.
Did you really?
Yeah. Dude, I got a picture of it.
I own a ton of crankbaits, and I do not own a pink one. That's impressive.
Yeah, I actually bought it on, like, Wednesday, just preparing to go down there trying to see if I could catch something on it. But and it worked out. It was, like, it was my first fish, too, in, like, 4 minutes. It was ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Nathan and I were talking too, and one thing that I did in practice is I've been wanting to try the Nico rig this year. So earlier this year, you know, one of my tackle warehouse orders, I threw in some nail weights and some hooks and stuff to throw in the Nico rig, and I figured if any place was a good place to test it out and maybe gain a little confidence in it, that's probably the place. So I did end up catching two fish with the Nico rig off of a dock.
All right.
But that's the one thing about lakes like that, right? You can practice some new stuff and gain some confidence.
Yeah.
On pink crankbaits.
Yeah, on pink crankbaits.
So now that you've shared that with us, you need to make sure that you throw that for at least the first 10 minutes of the Morse Lake event. You got to throw that in Morse.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Okay.
Cool. I'll try it.
All right, man. Well, James, hey, thanks for talking with us, and get back to your speech project. What's your speech over? What's your project?
It is a petition to make every Tuesday at Carmel High School a Taco Tuesday.
That doesn't sound too bad. I think you'll probably get a lot of support on that one.
I probably will, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, man. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, and we'll be at Morse here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's kind of your home lake, isn't it?
It sure is.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll be looking out for you.
Yeah. All right.
All right, man.
I'll see you.
All right, we'll see you on the water.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. I was able to catch up with our third-place finisher, Alan Reed, while we were still at West Boggs. Hey, with us we have Alan Reed. He finished third place today with 42 3/4 inches in our West Boggs event. Alan, tell us a little bit about your day.
So the day was long. A lot of fish caught, trying to weed through all those small ones to get something a little bit bigger. So total, I was either 87 or 88 bass caught today. Came off the ramp and tried to get away from people just because we had such a large number of people, and kind of went to the back area of one of the branches here. And mostly just fished 2 points, and would catch my fish on wood, and they were just stacked up in there, and I would just, catch one and take a picture of, to start off with, and then once we got past the limit, it was just a quick check to see if it was long enough to bring it up any. If not, just get right back in there and just catching fish all day long is what it was.
Is there any particular lure or anything that was working for you in the brush?
So all the only lure I threw all day was a Rage Menace, Black and Blue Rage Menace. I dipped the crawl tails or whatever you want to call those on there, the flappers, and a little bit of a red garlic scent, and then had it Texas rigged on a 1/8 ounce pro tungsten jig or a weight. And that's what I caught every fish on. I didn't even throw anything else because it was just working so well, just catching fish. And I knew the Menace was one that it could catch, it could catch big fish. Right? If they're there, it'll catch those too. So just stayed with what was working.
Didn't get bored at all through the day?
I can't say that I got bored, but there did reach a point where it was like, just give me a big one, and big being, 15 would have, 15-inch fish would have been, would have been the difference in what, probably third and first, I think.
Because you were only a quarter inch out of first place.
Yeah, so, yeah. And that would have taken out any tiebreakers or anything like that, so, I was just wanting a 15-inch fish, and it didn't want to come see me today.
You didn't cuss at the fish or anything, did you? You didn't catch him, 12-inch, get
back. No, I never cussed. No, just, just caught him, and just really, I mean, I have the hog trough holder on the side of my kayak, and I would just kind of lay it on there real quick, and, if it wasn't close to there, it was just back in the water quick, reset the lure, and get back to fishing, so...
So how many brush, you said you only fished 2 points. How many brush piles did you find in that? Or were you like looking at fallen timber?
Yeah, all of mine was fallen timber. Okay. And a couple stumps. The first point that I went to had my limit in what, like 10 minutes. That was really, two spots on that one. There was kind of a smaller tree that it was out in the water, and then it was a bigger tree that I found pre-fish in that I was able to pull a bunch of fish off of. Nothing huge though. And then I kind of moved around to the windblown side of another point that was next to that one, and again just tossing into timber. And my biggest fish, and I kind of thought about this, when I couldn't fall asleep last night, was that, with all the small fish that were here, I kind of felt like the bigger fish might be tucked back in a little harder where people aren't casting to all the time. And that played out that way. My biggest fish as well as the other two I put up, all came out of tossing in the middle of a mess. Get the fish on there and then figure out how to get it out was the kind of the
step
philosophy.
One, step two, right?
Yeah. And I kind of got stuck, and a lot of people will listen to this and they'll get kind of upset about it, but I was just stuck on catching 14-inch fish. Mm-hmm. And it was just 14-inch after 14-inch. And it's like, come on, help me a little bit here. At that time I had a 14, and I was like, just give me a 14 1/4. Didn't happen. And then finally got that 14 1/2. That was the last fish that I was able to put on the board.
That was about a little after 1 o'clock, I think.
Probably about that.
Yeah.
It was a long stretch there in the middle where it was nothing but small fish.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get anything to call, but it was consistent fish all day. So if you want to bring the kids out, you want to bring the family out, and you want to have a good time out on the lake and catch fish, West Boggs is the place to go.
I agree. Man, if all these fish can grow up in the next couple of years, it's going to be a hot little lake.
It will be. Yeah. It will be. So, hopefully they manage it properly and keep things under control, which, sounds like maybe has been a problem in the past. They can keep it sustained for long periods of time, not just have those peaks and valleys like seems to be a repeat cycle here.
Right. I agree. Well, Alan, do you have anything else you want to add? Anything you want to, any shout outs? Any,
oh,
any
yeah.
other funny stories from the day?
you know, I was really pleasantly surprised for the most part, right? All the boaters were good. All the kayakers were good. I didn't fish around too many kayakers, but, you know, I didn't hear about any huge disturbances or anything like that, which is great. Yeah, you know, I was kind of joking around yesterday, you know, with that many people, you know, I mean, how long is it going to take for the first person to get hooked? You know, yeah. just an accidental cast or something right. like that. But,
I thought if we were going to have 104 people, we might just have to take turns casting.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that was good. You know, definitely, you know, shout out to Aiden, you know, pulling it out again.
Yep. The last minute fish too, caught it like 1:30.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he'll have his story to share about how that went down. But somehow, man, that guy just always seems to pull out that one fish that he needs to come across there. But and then and James, you know, I mean, he and I kind of joke around with each other quite a bit and kind of poke at each other. But hey, that, you know, that's part of the sport in my mind. And, you know, appreciate that. And he had a good day out there as well. So
for those of you that don't know, James also had 42 3/4 inches, but we broke the tie. Not only did he have 42 3/4 inches, he had the exact same length of fish for all three fish that Alan did. And so we broke that tie based upon the earliest catch of the biggest fish.
Yep. So, and of course, you know, I got to give a shout out to my sponsors. You know, I mentioned Pro Tungsten, you know, I use their weights all day today, and, TRC Covers, and, both great companies. And, so if anybody wants some information, hit me up, I'll hook you up.
There you go. All right, man. Well, thanks for sharing some info with us and congratulations on your day.
Yep. Thank you very much.
And we will see you on the water soon, I'm sure. Now we're going to talk to our fourth place finisher, Randy Doris. This was Randy's first event with Indiana Kayak Anglers. You did well.
It's going good. How about yourself?
Oh, man, just getting along. Trying to get recovered from this weekend.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy. Hey, man, you had was this your first event with us?
Yes, sir, it was.
All right. I thought so. Great turnout, man. Solid solid fourth place finish at 42.5 inches. Good yeah. steady stringer, 14.5, 14 and 14. Got all keepers.
14.
Woo! It's hard to believe that made you some money, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I was kind of surprised with the big fish going at a little over 15. It just, yeah, it was kind of surprising.
Yeah, we were all a bit surprised that we knew it was going to be a long day of 12s, 13s, and 14s, but we were real surprised that somebody didn't find that 17, 18, 19 incher. That was kind of surprising, especially when you consider, you know, we had 452, I guess, fish turned in to tourney X. I'll bet there was over 1,000 caught throughout the day. It's hard to believe.
I'm sure.
Hard to believe. Yeah. I, you know, you always hear stories about people losing that one at the boat, and there were those. But
so, what
worked out for you on Saturday? What were you throwing and targeting?
I started out throwing some topwater. I actually listened to the podcast before I had went out there, and I think the first guy that you had talked to said something about making sure to have the topwater tied on, and I started out with that, and I didn't really have any luck with that, so I went to a chatterbait. I started throwing the chatterbait around, and I caught three fish off a rock bank pretty quickly. And then it was dead from there, and I didn't really have much luck after that. I went probably, I don't know, a couple hours till about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I stopped and I ate a little bit of lunch, and I got to thinking about it, and with everybody I talked to saying they caught, you know, such small fish, I needed to kind of change up to something, a little bit smaller bait. And I heard a couple other guys say something about a Ned rig and things like that, so I went to just a small little, tube bait that I got. I put that on a jig head and kind of threw it out there and bounced it around a couple times and pulled one out and bounced it again, pulled one out, and before you know it, I couldn't keep them off of it, and it just, it that definitely seemed to turn it around for me.
So did all of, I haven't looked at the times, did all the three fish in your stringer come later in the day then?
All three fish came pretty later in the day. One of them I got right as probably, I want to say 1:30, maybe closer to 2 o'clock. I was kind of heading back towards the ramp because I didn't want to be late getting back. And, and I was just kind of, I would pedal for a little bit and pitch it out there, and then pedal for a little bit and pitch it out there. And then that's how I got my last one. I think I was at 13. My smallest fish was 13 and 3/4. And then I finally got lucky and caught that 14 right at the last, kind of the last stretch before you go around the turn to get to the ramp. So
right there on that break wall.
Yes, sir. I got pretty lucky.
Yeah, it looks like it said that you your last 14-inch fish there was taken at 146. So you were right there then, and that was what then a 1/4-inch bump that put you solely in fourth place instead of a 3-way tie for fourth.
Yeah,
because there were two other guys at 42 1/4. So
yeah. With this being the first time, I didn't realize that they kind of took the scoreboard away at a certain time. Yeah. So I was expecting to be hopefully somewhere in the top 10. I was thinking I'd be more around 9th or 10th area. But with that extra little bump, I think that kind of put me up to where I was at. I was just, I think I was as surprised as everybody else.
That's kind of why we do it, to add a little element of surprise, and
it works.
Yeah, sort of why we do it. I usually shut it off around 1 o'clock. Sometimes earlier, depends on the event. But I was I was so busy judging fish on Saturday, I nearly forgot. Man, it was a flurry, dude. I didn't catch up till probably 2:15 before I ever got caught up while judging this fish. Yeah, it was insanity. It's pure insanity. The first 2 hours were just, I had to silence my phone. It was nuts. So, because I get an email every time if somebody submits a fish, and my phone was just ding 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 ding. It's crazy. we had 6 limits in the first 20 minutes of the tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is my first tournament. So I mean that's a little unusual, ain't it?
It's a lot unusual. Like, very, very, very unusual. It's just the way that lake was set up. It's just, we knew it was going to be a game of 1/4 inches. We just knew it was going to be. But it's still surprising how fast people were catching fish out there. But did you get to practice or anything?
No, I live in Indianapolis, so it was 2.5-hour drive for me to get down there. And
yeah.
It was kind of hard for me to do any pre-fishing, the weekend before that, because I ended up having to work. So that was my first time at West Boggs Lake, but I really like it. Other than the small fish, I think in a couple of years there'll be some really good fishing there. But I had a blast. I had a really good time.
There's a lot of fish in that lake, and even if you didn't catch anything the size, really, it's still, like you said, it's a lot of fun. Just Whenever you can go out and set the hook 70, 80 times in a day, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So whereabouts in Indianapolis do you live? You're up on the north side then?
No, I'm over on the west side of the west side of Indianapolis, but I work up north. I work in Fisher, so I'm not too far from Morris Lake, and I'm gonna try to do some pre-fishing before the next one comes around.
Yeah. So are you new to kayak fishing altogether this year?
I did it a little bit last year, but for the most part, this is my first year. I had a very small, like a Pelican Aruba kayak, one of Kmart kayaks, and that worked for me for a while, and it got me into it just to know that I wanted to kind of step up and take it a little more serious. So that's what I was trying to do this year. It just kind of started to take off.
Did you upgrade your kayak then too?
Yes, sir. I got a Native Watercraft Flare Propel 10.
Nice.
It kind of gets me moving around. I got a little more room, and it's working for me.
Obviously, so you made a Made a little bunny money back with it this weekend, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I can actually pay on it now.
So, yeah, we got a couple of events coming up here in, real close to you. Then we've got Morse, and then in August we're at White River. And so, yeah, that'll be good. You going to try and make them all this year?
I'm going to definitely do my best. Right yes, on. Sir.
Right on. Well, I don't think I have any more questions. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I appreciate you talking to me and putting on the events. I'm having a really good time with this, so I just want to say thank you.
Good. Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for joining us and taking a little bit out of your time out of the evening to tell everybody how things fell through for you, or, you know, fell together for you during the day. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate all of your support by coming out. So we'll see you in, what, 4 weeks, 3 weeks for Morse?
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
All right. Have you fished Morse before?
I went one time with a friend not too long ago, and it was real windy. I caught one little fish right off the ramp, and it was I caught it on a Ned rig also, but we wasn't out there very long. We was kind of getting banged around. My buddy had my older kayak, so he was kind of taking a beating, and it just the wind kind of took over on us. But
yeah, it wasn't much fun.
I'm hoping for a little better outcome next time. So
yeah, it's a fun little lake. I think it's kind of hit or miss. It's kind of a love hate thing, I think, too. Lots of guys hate it. Lots of guys love it. You know how that is. So
I'm kind of hearing that.
Won't be a flurry of fish like you had at West Boggs, that's for sure. Be a little more of a challenge for you.
All right. I'm up for it, I think.
All right, man. Well, hey, congratulations on your fourth place finish, and we'll see you soon out on Morse.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right. You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Finally, we're going to wrap this up with Nathan Pickering. Nathan finished in fifth place and took home big bass honors. Hey, Nathan, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Oh, not much. Hey, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your day. You ended up in fifth place overall with 42 and a quarter inches, and then you had the giant big bass of the day at 15 and a quarter. Woo!
Woohoo! Yeah. Well, I got to pre-fish Friday, which was rare for me because with the family and everything, I'm usually at home while a lot of people are out on the lake the day before. But so luckily I got to pre-fish out there. That gave me a little bit of confidence going into the day Saturday. I just wanted to find a bunch of areas with fish and catch them with a bunch of different baits and try to get a bunch of different patterns going and see where I caught the biggest fish and then start there Saturday. So that's what I did. I started on the north side of the lake there, fishing a finesse worm, and off of points, seemed like fish were still in pre-spawn mode, and they were bunched up on that outside of points, 8 to 12 feet of water or so, and caught a quick limit. Actually, my first fish of the day was one of my keepers. Then moved on and started fishing a jerk bait. About a half hour into the tournament, and just caught fire all of a sudden and was catching fish on like every second or third cast. It was insane. I've never been on a jerkbait bite like that, but it was like 3 or 4 hours of it. It was nuts. And tried to get an upgrade, tried and just kept catching the same 13-inch fish, it seemed like. About 11:30 or so, I decided to move down to the south side of the lake, southwest side, where a lot of guys have been fishing, and see if I could catch something bigger. Jerk bait bite kind of died down. I was still catching fish on it, but they were a little more sporadic, and switched over to a crank bait and caught two more upgrades, and the second one being that the big one with, I don't know, an hour to an hour and a half left in the tournament, and just doing the same kind of pattern, fishing the ends of points, and I felt that as a medium diving crankbait, I felt it come off the end of the point and then just got slammed. And I'm sure other people will mention it, but and the fish there just fought like crazy. Even though they were so small, they were just full of shad or whatever the heck they were eating in there, and they fought hard, and that 15-inch fish was just bulldogging the whole time. I swore it was a catfish. I never saw it until it got right next to the boat. I was just praying it wasn't a catfish. And then got it in the net, and I was pumped up. I was hollering and stuff, and having to be a guy fishing close for crappie, he said, "Oh, is it a big one?" I said, "No."
But big, was... big enough.
Yeah. But, yep. So I pretty much, after that, made my way back to the ramp, fishing some more points, and came in. But that was my day.
So pretty well, other than the finesse, like when you say finesse worm, you talking like a Senko or were you?
Yeah,
shaky head or something.
Yeah, shaky head, like a 6-inch. What are they called? The Zoom trick worm.
Oh yeah.
And then switching back and forth between that and the Senko.
Did there seem to be a predominant color that was successful, or was it just kind of anything?
Yeah, anything. Try natural colors mostly, like a green pumpkin and a watermelon, and then I switched to ribble worm makes it a morning dawn color just to see if I could get a bigger bite on that, but they weren't having that as much. But I could pretty much get bit on that bait at will. It was insane. I mean, I've never been in a situation where I've been learning more about electronics in the past year or two, but never been in a situation where I've seen fish right there in my graph and been able to drop to them literally under my boat and catch them. It was just insane.
How many fish do you think you caught throughout the day?
I don't know. I think it's funny when people come up with these numbers, but I don't know how many fish I caught. I mean, I caught a lot of fish pre-fishing the day before, probably over 30 fish, but the day of the tournament, I mean, I don't even know it. It sounds silly to say 100+, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was 100+ fish.
I know I spoke with Alan Reed at the end of the event, and I think he actually keeps track, like literally, I don't know, like maybe a pitch counter or something. I really don't know, but I think he said 87. Mm-hmm. He said he had 87, and I believe it too, man. I look at the total number of fish just submitted to Tourney X, and that was 449 fish. It's unbelievable, but I'll guarantee you, I feel like there were probably over 1,000 fish caught in that event.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
crazy.
Even though we'll call your 15¼ a kicker, I was really surprised that there wasn't that one standout big fish. Because looking at the tournament events from the bass boats out there, seems like somebody always comes in with the 4 or 5 pounder. But
yep, I was shocked. I thought when I saw the results that somebody would have gotten a 17 or 18 at least and separated themselves, but that just didn't happen for some reason.
And the thing about it is those fish are so healthy that a 5-pounder on the scale might only be 18 inches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So true.
Yeah, there's some solid fish in there. I mean,
I bet that 15¼ I caught was every bit of 2.5 pounds. I mean, it was crazy.
It's kind of hard to tell because it looks like you're squeezing it so it doesn't jump. But
Yep.
I'm looking at that picture right now. Wish I could.
Adrenaline flowing.
Yeah. It was a fun lake. I wish I would have gotten to spend a little more time out there. I just was piddling around a little bit on Friday, and I caught quite a few fish, too. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Be a really fun lake. I know you and I talked about this on the water, but it'd be a really fun lake to just make yourself go to and take that one rod and reel and lure combination that you've been wanting to practice. You know, the one thing that you want to try doing better this year and just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can learn a lot about fishing by fishing, but you can even learn more by catching fish. And I think that, just speaking for myself, I learned like a ton about fishing in general. I learned a ton about fishing crankbait angles because I'd go around one point fishing that crankbait, and I would catch 3 or 4 fish, and then come back on the other side, throw in a different angle, and catch three or four more fish. It was just crazy. And the same with the jerkbait. I mean, I've never been on a real productive jerkbait bite. I caught probably 20 or less fish on a jerkbait in my life, and by the end of the day Saturday, I mean, my forearm was just cramping up like crazy. It was insane.
You had jerkbait elbow?
Yeah, I was kind of happy to see that bite die down because I didn't know how much longer I had it in me to throw it.
You didn't have any other way? You couldn't just put it down, huh? You had to be forced into it?
No way. Not yeah, not if I was catching. And I know the jerkbait is, you know, you would think it's bound to produce a big bite at some point. It's one of those baits that'll catch big fish, but...
What kind of jerkbait were you throwing?
Down until it slowed. I was throwing a Mega Bass jerkbait.
One of the Vision 110s?
Yep.
Yeah.
It earned every bit of that cost, for sure.
Well, did it? Did you get... Are any of those fish still on your board here?
You know, I was trying to decide that for myself. I couldn't decide if I caught... I wanted to say I caught two keepers on a crankbait and then one on a worm. But I may have had one on each bait. I don't remember.
It's kind of a blur at some point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're catching that many fish, it's hard to remember.
Oh, man, what a crazy day. It was a fun event.
Yeah,
I think,
a lot of fun.
I think everybody had a good time. Lots of fish caught.
Absolutely.
Lots and lots and lots of fish caught.
I'm excited to see what that lake does in a few years. I don't know. It seems like they're all eating healthy now. I don't know how that long that'll last with them getting bigger, but it'd be nice to see, to be able to go there and catch 16 and 17 inch fish like that in a couple of years. And
if that lake ever gets like that, you'll never get anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to go out when it's 32 degrees outside and barely ice off.
Yep.
But yeah, no, that'd be awesome though. That's pretty cool. All right, man. Do you have anything else you want to add, or anything you want to talk about? Or?
I think that's good.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us, and we will see you soon.
Absolutely. See you at Morse.
Many thanks to Elaine and Jameson at West Boggs Park for hosting us. They went above and beyond and out of their way to make sure we had everything we needed, and that we were allowed to actually even have the event there. Also, thanks to Stoll's Lakeview Restaurant. They hosted about 32 of us the night before for a little get-together and dinner. And it was delicious and enjoyable, and we all had a great time. And that's a wrap, both for episode 5 of the podcast and our first event of the season. It was a good one. Great turnout. Incredible turnout, actually. Lots of fish caught. Had a good time. A lot to be thankful for. A lot of camaraderie. New friends, old friends. That's what it's all about, guys. We'll see you next week for episode 6. I have no idea what it's going to be yet, but we'll figure something out. And we'll see you real soon at Morse Reservoir for event number 2. We'll see you on the water.